Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
We are here. Finally.
I know. I'm really excited.
Really?
I'm so excited for Raw next week. So exciting. Best Raw of the year.
I was about to say, wow, like this is a big turnabout for you. Because it seems like, not necessarily dreading WrestleMania, but you are really just not looking forward to it.
It's apathetic. I'm quite apathetic to WrestleMania this year.
Still, even with the new developments and everything.
Yes. Still, even with the new developments and everything.
Alright, okay. I mean, I can tell you now, I really had to reevaluate the predictions that I had already had in my head.
Okay.
I really had to. And for me, any time that they can do that is exciting.
Yeah.
You know? And we've said that time and time again. Like, any time where they can just not really be able to guess what's going to happen is a great thing for them.
I completely agree with you. Any time that they can put it up where I cannot guess what's going to happen, that's a great thing. That is not happening.
Alright, okay.
That is not happening at all.
I mean, there are still some matches where, like, okay, obviously this is going to go that way and that's going to go this way.
I mean,
honestly, I still have a feeling that...
Honestly, let's go ahead. I mean, it's early in the podcast. We're a minute in. But, like, let's go ahead and jump into official predictions.
Okay.
Because I want to really... I don't know. And, like, I'm hoping and praying I'm wrong, but I really feel like... I have the answers this time around.
Wow, came down from the mountaintop and everything. Like, I have the answers, you minions.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to, but I just kind of feel like, all right, here we go. All right,
you humbly take the torch and power on.
So, go ahead.
Okay, so we'll start with the pre-show match.
Okay, I don't have answers for this one. It's a pre-show match.
Well, it's becoming a WrestleMania pre-show, I guess, tradition now that it's 2 years in a row.
All right.
And they've done it like a few WrestleManias in the past.
It has been as long as the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
It's still, every time someone says that, I think to myself, like, did they say that right? Something didn't sound right.
Armbar,
there you go. This is for the Tag Team Championship. I got Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, Los Matadores, New Day, and the Usos. I don't know. This 9 times out of 10, this has like retain written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Kidd and Cesaro. I feel like I'm going to say that they do retain.
I'm saying they retain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
But were they... What is their unofficial team name that everyone's given them? The Uppercats?
Uppercats?
Yeah.
I had not heard that, and I love it.
And they got new t-shirts that do not have Uppercats on them, and that's kind of... Some people called them Team Brass Rings or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard that, Team Brass Ring. So
or the Brass Rings Club, and they had like a...
Mm-hmm.
You know, a very Bullet Club-esque t-shirt.
Yeah. So I've heard that one. So now it's I mean, Cesaro won it last year.
He won Armbar last year.
Yeah, but emotionally he won that as well. That's when he turned face this match last year.
Turned face for a whole 24 hours,
I know, it was nice.
It was a great 24 hours.
I look back fondly.
As do I. I rewatched most of WrestleMania 30. Haven't finished it, but I know. Spoiler alert. I know what happens. But yeah, no, still seeing the end of last year's Armbar still gave me chills. The crowd reaction, just it was amazing.
No, I know, I was there.
I mean, not literally. I was sitting next to you.
I know,
or close to you.
C'est la vie.
All right, so we're both saying retain.
Yeah, retaining.
All right, we're gonna jump into Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins, a regular singles match. I mean, it can go really like obviously, it can go one of two ways.
It can go one of two ways.
Or both ways. you can have Randy win in his first big match since returning. Or you can use it to continue to build Seth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like the likely of the two is probably Randy winning.
You're going Randy?
See, that's the thing. Like, I was going to go Seth until I started talking, and I convinced myself just now.
Just now, this moment.
To go Randy.
Should I write down the word Randy on the paper? And then follow with Orton, because it'd be weird if I just wrote down Randy on a piece of paper.
No, I'm really rooting for Randy Couture.
All right, come on. Make your pick. I've already written my pick down. That's how. I mean, it's really, in pencil, so I guess I got to erase it.
Who are you picking?
No.
Okay. How is this? Because this is like the second pay-per-view in a row where you're being really secretive about yours and really trying to wait until I say mine. Even though you've already written down.
I've already written down. I'm trying to point out like my on-high answers feeling is like I have this.
Okay.
So,
pick. You know what? No. I'm going to go Seth.
All right, I'm going Seth.
Okay. So. Because the more I talked, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, Randy's been getting, like, over on Seth quite a bit, which usually is the pendulum swing that
he has,
on pay-per-view
he doesn't, the other guy gets. Randy doesn't need the bump. Randy can challenge John Cena again anytime
for
in the future forever. And there's going to be a lot of face wins, so they need a couple of heel wins to balance it out. Here's your heel win.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Undertaker Bray Wyatt.
I'm going Taker. I'm absolutely going Taker. It's just, and I like this. This has been so. Just to go into Raw for a second,
mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt carried the whole 2 months of the feud in 4 minutes.
Absolutely. I put on our Twitter at Sierra Tire, which you can follow and for all of our shenanigans.
Plug.
Plug. I said that Bray Wyatt has feuded with a brick wall for the past 2 months, which is impressive, but not quite as impressive as Paul Heyman carrying a program between two brick walls.
Pretty much.
Yes. But again, like he's done this whole thing by himself.
Yes.
And all he used was, like, you know, a soundbite from Undertaker and, you know, something of saying that he accepted.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. That says a lot about Bray Wyatt. You know, and this is stuff that we already knew about
Bray Wyatt. It says a lot about Bray Wyatt. It's great for Bray Wyatt. But this match, honestly, like, this feels like the most whoop-de-doo match on the card.
Like, sarcastic? Or, like...
I mean, this feels like the match with the least amount to gain.
Fair enough.
This feels like the most no-win situation. If Bray Wyatt wins,
that's the second year in a row. He's kind of
The Undertaker hasn't won in a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know, you know, technically one.
And
match.
If he loses, does he lose like all of his like lightning powers now?
Well, that's
or flashlight powers.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like it's so if Bray wins, yay! He's the second person to beat the Undertaker
in the past 2 years.
Who's the second guy to beat Goldberg? I don't know. I mean, probably somebody knows, but you know what I mean.
Right. I'm pretty sure somebody will correct us about that on Twitter.
And if Taker wins, you know, great job. You'd smash back down Bray Wyatt. I got to say that, I mean, they can't have Taker going into WrestleMania 32 having not won a single match in 2 years.
Right.
So I think Taker has to win this one.
And that's why I'm going to go with Bray on this.
All right, go with Bray.
I felt like, I don't know. I'm really digging into the whole new Face of Fear thing.
Yeah?
You know, and I know it's just really just a plot point for this feud, but I feel like it would really nail it home if he beat Taker at WrestleMania. Okay. Taker, he can still build a compelling storyline for 32 for Taker, even if he did lose this one. You know, and again, like, if Randy Orton can survive losing to several big guys, I'm pretty sure, you know, The Undertaker of all people could do the same. And he'd still be believable, still get the fans' attention, and the fans still care about him.
Yeah.
Because it's The Undertaker.
And I don't think you're wrong, but I
wholeheartedly agree with you. Like, it's one of those things where it's like you can see negatives on both sides, and it's a hard coin to flip.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, part of the weirdness of this feud is that literally the last time we saw Undertaker was a year ago, walking away from having lost the most important thing to him.
Yeah.
And other than Bray Wyatt saying you're no longer the face of fear, that has not been touched.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's awkward. It's just, it's very awkward for, like, and if Undertaker was, you know, an active wrestler, an active part of the roster, then he would have been in three or four feuds.
Yeah.
And kind of washed that clean, and he could have brought it back and said, you know, with, I'm still going to take WrestleMania by storm, rest in peace, blah, blah, blah. But because it's literally the last time we've seen Undertaker physically.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah, a little bit. I wonder if they would be bold enough to, like, not have Undertaker show up at 31.
You think Undertaker just comes up, just doesn't show up?
Yeah, and then just Bray Wyatt automatically just, like, he gets the ref to do the 10 count and just assumes the new face of fear. Building to a WrestleMania 32 match.
There's going to be enough booze
for WrestleMania 31. I'm not saying it's a good idea, but I'm just saying, everyone, prepare yourselves, because it is a possibility. I mean, all of those workout photos that Michelle McCool's posted on Instagram could just be a ruse.
Well, what I would like, I will say,
done more with less.
What I will like is Bray Wyatt stands in the ring, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the gong happens, and there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Bray Wyatt grabs a mic. He's too scared to show up. Start the 10 count. And as he starts the 10 count, Undertaker comes out, and he has to walk to the ring and beat the 10 count. That would be the most intense thing. Undertaker slow walking, and he still has to get there by a 10 count.
That might be the fastest we've ever seen enter a match.
And you can just see, like, the emotion on Undertaker's face, where he has to do his scary slow walk, but he only has 10... Mm-hmm. The 10 count to do it, and the conflict and the turmoil of the character.
Fair enough. Because this is our WrestleMania tradition, since we've already touched on that, over under, say, 4.5 minutes on the Undertaker entrance this year?
Okay, from initial gong to a hat and eyes?
Yeah, hat and eyes. Because I was, like, when I was thinking about this in the past, like, what did we do in the past? Was it the initial gong till he, you know, stands in the corner and raises? But technically, he's still doing the entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, hat off, the little lightning noises, mm-hmm. and eye rolls.
I say we're looking at a good easy 5 minutes.
Easy 5 minutes. So you're going over.
I'm going over 4.5.
All right. I'll go even 4.5.
You're going exactly 4.5.
For no points, who cares? We're not. Even with the matches, nobody wins anything, Joel. Bragging rights, maybe. But if I get it, like, 4.5 minutes on the dot.
On the dot.
I go full, like, Roman Reigns in the Royal Rumble. Like, I'm a wizard territory. Come on. If I get it wrong, it's like, oh, well, like, you know, it's a bold statement. Who cares?
All right, next match.
Next we have the Divas Tag Team match, AJ, Paige versus the Bellas. I'm saying Bellas.
Alright, I was going to go AJ and Paige.
You know, we saw the dissension between Paige and AJ. I feel like they're going to play into that, plus Bellas are going to do shenanigans.
That's completely fair. I mean, this one could go either way. Mm-hmm. I kind of gave it up to the faces, because they're faces on this one.
Okay.
They had such a long time to change this from a tag team to a fatal four-way for the title.
Right?
Like, every week I'm sitting here being like, here it comes. All right, here it comes. And I have to go back and change the slideshow from what I assumed the match was going to be by the time we got to WrestleMania.
Yeah, because, like, you know, all four of them are believably in the top contention of the Divas division, blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, you could remind the fans that, you know, Brie is married to one of the most over guys ever right now.
Yeah.
So, instant face turn right there, just by association. Turn Paige and AJ heel. Paige would probably be easier to turn heel than AJ. AJ's kind of got more of a, you know, just automatic pop every time she comes out.
Yeah.
And then, bam, you got half face, half heel. That's the formula that WWE loves. Throw them out there and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, so, no. You get a tag team.
Yep. So, there we go.
Yay. Anything more we want to say about
Could
that?
Could have been better than it's going to be.
Sure.
Just like, that was a swing and a miss for a slow ball over the plate, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to Rusev versus Cena.
Would you like to pick Rusev for this?
No, I wouldn't. I absolutely would not like to pick.
I really think you should get Rusev here.
Interesting note. I saw this someone post about this online with the whole, like, you know, in real life, Lana's away shooting a movie right now. And storyline, you know, it's Rusev's not happy with her because she was the one that gave John Cena the match, blah, blah, blah. Some people posted, like, we could be seeing, like, a Macho Man Randy Savage, Miss Elizabeth situation. By, like, 32, we'll be, like, by WrestleMania 32, we'll be so invested in their relationship that when they finally get together, we're all, like, tears. Because I remember, because when we watched that WrestleMania, we were so surprised on how emotionally invested everyone, mostly women, were all about that. Like, we saw people crying because they were finally together.
I mean, I got pretty choked up, and, like, this was something that I did not have to watch in real time. Right. I, like, flew through this story at an accelerated rate, and I was still like, they did it, you guys! They got together!
Right?
There it is! Oh, I'm gonna punch something!
Fair enough. And so, that's an interesting element, because a lot of people are thinking, like, after Rusev loses to Cena, eventually they're going to have to do something with him, which usually means they're going to, you know, change their face heel status. So they're probably going to try. They can only run with this Russia thing for so long after he's been beaten.
Yeah.
You know? So that would be a way to turn him face, because people are already chanting that they want Lana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did that the first week he came. They did that the first week when Rusev came out with that guy who, I don't know what accent he was trying to do, but it absolutely was not Russian.
Who's the last person that was, like, a career heel, like Iron Sheik style? Like, how far back do I have to go before I can get that?
I mean, I know, like, as a character, JBL was always a heel. But he had it all that time as Bradshaw, and APA clearly were faces.
Yeah.
Or tweeners that were getting a face reaction, I should say.
Yeah.
I know, like, I'm just blinking right now, and I know there's plenty.
Career heels?
There's back in the old, like, you know.
Back in the day, yeah, absolutely. And now there's a lot of guys who, like, you know, did, you know, kind of were never around long enough to, you know, be both.
Right.
But, like a full-on career heel mode, like a Bobby Heenan. I mean, I guess Bobby Heenan turned face when Hogan turned heel. But, I mean, that was, you know. But
that was WCW days, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but Bobby Heenan is a career heel. Paul Heyman is a career heel.
Yeah. I can see that.
I mean, those are managers. What I'm sure there are some somewhere, but like a wrestler who is a career heel from.
I don't think they've ever worked Brock Lesnar as a face.
Not even at the beginning.
No, because at the beginning he was, you know, right out the gate he was aligned with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
He's come out and destroy people. You know, I don't even know if it's even fair to assess if he was good or bad, because he was just really kind of like a marvel to look at. It's like, oh, he's gonna beat up somebody else, guys.
Yeah.
Look how badly beaten up he annihilated Spike Dudley, you know. And I mean, I could beat up Spike Dudley, but still. So I would say, I think it's fair to say Brock's never been a face, which, you know. As we'll get to in a little bit later, you know, we might see that
in
the next 3 years, maybe, possibly, yeah. Who knows?
Ooh, a teaser for later in the podcast. What could you be alluding to?
For news that came out, like, by the time this podcast comes out, a week ago.
Yeah. Cena?
Yes, yeah, Cena, absolutely. Because, I mean, it's his Hulk Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter moment. Like, it is full-on USA versus our enemies abroad, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's absolutely going to be Cena. Like, this is going to be the second year in a row that Cena has beaten a former NXT monster. Next year, I'm really hoping that, but, or I'm not hoping, but next year, don't be surprised when you see John Cena annihilating Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. Best things you can say about this match, honestly, it's not main eventing.
Yeah. And, you know, John Cena might be bringing back the John Cena might be bringing back the Spinner US belt.
Well, John Cena's going to be US champion. I mean, that's an exciting thing, provided he doesn't. You know, last time he got a belt that wasn't the WWE Championship, the first thing he did was, let's combine this with the WWE Championship.
But he did get beat for that.
He did.
But he also unified the belts.
Yeah.
Which I think was a good move. Because honestly, there was too many belts, and the heavyweight belt was kind of getting shoved, you know, to the sides more and more.
It was, and I agree with that. I think it takes away some of the excitement of the Rumble, because you know exactly who the Rumble winner is going to go for. Yeah,
and like, I mean, it adds some prestige to the Rumble.
It does, it does. It's a thing. There's a good and a bad, because it
but
does.
It also takes away from, like, because who's he going to go up against?
Especially, you know? A lot of the Rumbles over the past several years were going for the World Heavyweight Championship and be like, oh, that's because you actually care about the WWE champion and you have a story crafter for that one.
And so they felt like they could take a little bit of a risk, I guess, with the Royal Rumble winner and be like, oh yeah, I'll give it to a guy who hasn't really been proven on the main event stage yet, with Sheamus
and Del Rio, yeah.
You know?
And that's the kind of thing where it's like, that's good because it made it the Rumble more interesting and harder to predict and exciting.
But bad because you ended up with Sheamus as World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, but these past 2 years when it was for one title, we're like, I know who's going to win.
Yeah, it's more
painfully obvious. Here it comes.
Absolutely. I fully agree with you on that.
Good and bad.
I just hope this doesn't involve, you know, John Cena completely burying Daniel Bryan or Dolph Ziggler to unify that with the Intercontinental belt. But then if they do, what do they call it?
The entire world belt.
You know, I don't know. The World Heavyweight Championship? Isn't that what that would be called?
Yeah.
I still think they need to have an internet championship. I still feel like that would be a good idea. Like, in the same vein that WCW had the TV championship, you know?
I think you can call it the internet championship or whatever it is. I think it should have hardcore rules. It should be.
Yeah.
You can, especially with your network. Your 24-hour network, a belt that can be...
And to ensure that, you basically have, like I've said before, you have your pre-show match for every pay-per-view. Whoever's going for the internet championship, that's going to be on the pre-show because it's only on the internet. It's not... Even if people are paying for it on pay-per-view, they won't be able to see it because it's not online.
Yeah. It's a lot you can do there, but that's cool.
But, you know, whatever. Just fantasy-looking.
Do your thing.
A little bit of that poked into our predictions, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Next match.
Okay, next is the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. That's Bad News Barrett, R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, Stardust, and Daniel Bryan. I feel like it's Daniel Bryan, because who else? You know? There's a couple of things where I kind of like fantasize, like, Cody Rhodes plus Stardust having the Intercontinental belt again would be fun.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of his Intercontinental Championship run from three years ago. You know, I'm a fan of that. Dean Ambrose, because I love him.
Yeah.
To know, and even more so Dolph Ziggler. Like, those guys I would love to see it.
But
Bad News Barrett wasn't going to do anything. Crazy Truth, who cares?
In the grand spirit of, I hope they don't cheat. I hope they don't boo later. They're gonna. I mean,
yeah. Now this is a good way of
let's go ahead and appease this by giving Daniel Bryan a title.
Right.
I mean, they're not. I think they're not gonna risk it, especially. It's
like, hey fans, I know you wanted a big chocolate cake. Here, we got a vanilla cake, but to tie you over, here's a Hershey bar. You know, that's kind of how it kind of feels like. And of course, Fat Boy goes into food, but it's very much like, let's try to appease them. So.
But especially when this card was being written, when we didn't know if all contracts were signed.
Yeah.
Like.
So this felt like this is probably going to be the big belt in WWE until we found out that John Cena was going for the US belt. And then that one's probably going to be the big belt that everyone goes for.
Well, I mean, one of the things, like, I really hope, like, the guy who main evented WrestleMania last year, the guy who main evented WrestleMania the 28 years before that, it feels like.
Yes.
Are now holding your mid-card belts. Like, that's gotta bring at least some prestige
to the belt.
It's gotta help.
Especially with Daniel Bryan seemingly to, he seemingly has the desire to really take SmackDown under his wing and make it interesting again. And from all accounts, he's done that. I just haven't had time to watch it.
Yeah.
Again, like I'm going to need convincing to go back to watching SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
No, I understand.
So, and that's something that I've been proposing for a while, especially since the World Heavyweight Championship has been absolved into the WWE Championship, is make SmackDown the Intercontinental Championship show. Like,
yeah.
Make that show be all about the pursuit of the whoever the champion is.
Yeah.
You know? And not just have tag team match after tag team match be your freaking main event. Same goes for Raw. They've been doing that a lot lately.
Yes, they have. It's true.
And it's awful. But
we're almost,
this is where we're hoping for.
We're almost to the Raw after WrestleMania. It's going to be so good.
It's going
to
be so good, you guys. Sheamus is probably going to be coming back.
Yeah, Sheamus.
Because they like to do their
returns. My greatest fear is that Sheamus will be a surprise eighth entrant into the ladder match.
I think, if anything, he'll be put in the... He'll be one of the few guys that gets a full music entrance for the armbar. Because he and Big Show got that last year.
Yeah, but I
which is funny because neither of them won.
If you want to play, let's predict where Sheamus comes back. I'm definitely going this match. You can go armbar, but I'm definitely going ladder match.
Okay.
So for no points, where does Sheamus come back at WrestleMania?
I if he comes back at WrestleMania, I think armbar.
I'm going ladder
and
match.
Possibly win armbar. He's not my pick to win armbar.
Okay.
But if he does come back, this is how it happens.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like, and honestly, if Sheamus was going to come back for WrestleMania, they would have said, Sheamus is coming back to WrestleMania.
Yeah, you think?
Instead of saying, he's coming back, but they don't say when.
Yeah.
I feel like if he is coming back, they would have made that part of
the
WrestleMania build-up. Unless sometime during WrestleMania Access, they make it be like, oh, Sheamus is going to be back at WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah.
Well, but they're being very nondescript about that. I feel like that's because they learned their lesson with Brodus Clay. Because they kept saying, oh, Brodus Clay is going to be up next week. And then you didn't hear anything about it for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes the Funkasaurus.
That moment. That was a good moment. Like, it was a WTF moment.
Because we were just like, we definitely weren't marking out, but we were just...
Until Brodus came out, I'm saying, like, somebody's going to get fired. Somebody played the wrong music. Somebody's getting fired.
And then he came out in that dopey-looking
and was like,
one DMC suit. And
then, like, two people are getting fired. Somebody dressed him in the wrong costume.
I mean, eventually, but that was, like, 2 years later.
Yeah. Next match.
Next is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
All right.
I don't know. Like, I can go a few different ways with this. Go after the giant guys because, like, again, like last year,
you picked Big Show.
I was willing to bet money that Big Show was gonna win.
Yeah.
You know, especially when he was trying to make such an emotional attachment because he was face back then. No, he switched a billion times since, but he tried to build like an emotional reaction of like when he first came into the business. He was billed as Andre the Giant's son.
Yeah.
He always felt a close connection. He was a big, Andre the Giant fan, and he was the whole reason of him getting into the business and the big, you know.
Right.
So I felt like, you know, the very first Andre the Giant Battle Royal would have been like
was going to Big Show,
and that's what made the final moments of that match last year so great.
Right.
Because I was like, all right, that's what I'm, you know. This year, I'm not so sure because there are a wide variety of different ways to go.
Yeah.
You know, there's the one that I wish would happen would be comes down to Miz and Mizdow, and Mizdow finally dumps Miz and wins.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna.
There's gonna be a segment.
I think that will happen, but yeah. It will not be the final two. I think.
There's another. I knew I had another situation in my head. I can't think of it now. But I feel like it's more likely that someone like Ryback is gonna win.
You going Ryback?
The more I think about it, yeah.
All right.
Because I don't know if they're going to go heel with this.
Ryback. It's being written down.
All right, yeah. I feel okay with that.
All right. I'm going Adrian Neville.
Okay. All right. Because, yes, they did announce that there will be a four-man mm-hmm. tournament. I don't know if it's right to call that a tournament with only four
people. Four people?
Yeah. Because when they say tournament, I was like, all right, like 16 mm-hmm. or something?
They're announcing three matches.
Three matches, you guys. And granted, I get it. You know, access is a busy time. They got to consolidate. Yeah. But
I think that it's – they want the Andre the Giant Memorial to be a thing.
Yeah.
And to be like – And like Money in the Bank used to be like, oh, it's gonna be, you know. So I think they need to do something with, where
like literally anyone could win this, you guys.
Well, literally anyone could win this. Plus, like, make it memorable each year.
Yeah,
which is hard and tricky, especially when you do 30 man matches not that unfrequently.
Yeah.
So I think
because they did that a lot last year. They did a lot of over the top battle royals.
So I think that like that's one way to do it. So I'm gonna go ahead and go say,
this is all provided that Adrian Neville wins the quote unquote tournament.
Yeah, no.
Because also involved is Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, and Tyler Breeze. I believe I'm getting that right.
I think that's right.
I feel like the general consensus is the next guy up is Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
Although now I'm getting a few reports, not exactly from reliable sources, so take it with a grain of salt, that, you know, Finn Balor is getting moved up very soon.
Okay.
He's been that impressive.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, lucky me, I don't even have to wait till Sunday to find out if I'm wrong.
True.
I might be able to find out even earlier that I was wrong.
You do know, I think that tournament happens tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time this podcast comes out, you will be sitting pretty. Or already
looking
wrong.
Like a doof.
Are you sure you want to stick with Adrian?
Yeah, I'm going with it.
I will let you just say whoever comes up through NXT.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
All right.
And you know what? Let's remember this moment because later you're going to say, can I just say whoever did it? I'm going to be like, nope, you have to say a name. And you'd be like, that's not fair. I'm like, it is fair because I said Adrian Neville and stuck to the guns.
I mean, are you saying I'm going to do that later on this show?
No, I'm saying like, later in the year. All right. Like, I'm holding this one in the pocket. For when you try and...
But just for kicks and giggles, no, for no points, whatever, who would be your secondary pick?
To win the NXT or...
Armbar.
For Armbar? Honestly, though, actually, Mizdow. Like,
yeah, that's who I would go
because,
with.
Like, that's the only other story that's happening.
Yeah, and even with, like, I don't know if they're going to have, like... I'm assuming at least Kid and Cesaro would be... put in this match as well.
Yeah.
Especially Cesaro, you know, previous winner, put him in this time again.
Especially with, you know, there's a lot of people at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
I mean, with a 7-man match and a 30-man match.
See, that's the thing. Like, I'm looking at the Wikipedia of, like, all the matches. They're not specifying if it's 30 men.
It better be 30 men. Okay, you know what? It doesn't have to be 30 men, but if it's, like, 5...
At least 20, and I would be okay with it.
Yeah.
But they better not bill it as a 30-man battle royal.
If there's 20 people in it?
Mm-hmm.
You liars.
So, moving along, we have Sting and Triple H.
Sting. Jeez.
I was about to say, like, all right, let's hear your argument on Triple H.
I was like, Triple Sting.
Triple Sting, wow.
I mean, the argument on Triple H is they tried to make this all about WCW versus...
I really thought you were about to read out his lyrics. It's all about the game and how you play it.
It is, in fact, all about this game and how they play it. So here's my question is, is this Triple H's first match in a year?
No, because he had a couple matches.
He was with Evolution.
Evolution, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's close by 2 months.
When's the last time Triple H has won a match?
I don't know, Curtis Axel?
Well, so here's the thing, is do you feel like Triple H has the currency from his entire career that he can pretty much lose? Because he's in the position to lose for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
He's the evil corporate bad guy who can go in the ring. Like, so he's...
He did beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 29.
He did.
That, like, every time I rewatched that match, I was like, oh, yeah... That's really surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, no, he beat Brock Lesnar. Well, that's the thing is, like, I thought that was it. I thought that was revenge for SummerSlam, and we were going, but then we heard Extreme Rules, and it was the third time they heard a
Well, yeah, you have to have the rubber match. You have to have a rubber match. If one guy wins, the other guy... Speaking of one that we should look forward to, though, I did watch NXT this week. Next week, there's going to be a rubber match. Best 2 out of 3 falls between Hideo and Tyler Breeze.
I am looking forward to that.
I'm absolutely looking forward to that.
So
there was actually, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who hasn't watched it, because I'm assuming you haven't.
No, I've not watched it yet.
Two title matches. One is Women's NXT Championship. The blue fairy chick.
Oh, it's like Blue Pants?
Not Blue
Pants. Blue Pants got a title shot?
I wish, because I am not impressed with Alexa Bliss. dear Lord. I have opinions that aren't good for me to say on this podcast about her.
All right.
And against Sasha Banks, of course. And then the NXT title match between Kevin Owens. I almost said Kevin Steen. And Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Good match.
Okay.
Pretty good match.
All right,
well. He didn't wear the makeup. I was kind of disappointed.
That's too bad.
But it was still a good match.
But I understand why.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah, no, Sting, it's...
Yeah, no, I feel like Sting's first match in WWE, maybe his only.
Yeah.
Depending on how he feels this time next year.
I don't know, like, I just... The thing is, like, Sting was on TNA not that long ago, and was on TNA on a weekly basis.
Right.
So I'm like, would it really be that difficult? Like, I don't need a lot, but just like a 2-month run of Sting, just do 2 in between pay-per-views.
I mean, honestly, with the amount of people that we have on the roster and the amount of people that are coming up, having Sting work our Undertaker schedule for a few years isn't that terrible. I'd be okay with it. As a fan, yeah, and, you know, as a guy who's always wanted to see this too, I would definitely be okay with, you know, a 2-3 month run with WWE for right now.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I want Sting on the 3-hour shows that they struggle to fill. I don't need Sting on the 1 4-hour show that feels crammed every year.
Yeah, even though they don't really have that many matches.
They don't. They only have 9 matches with the pre-show.
Yeah.
So, but still, it's like, I mean...
It still feels crowded.
That's the thing. It's like, I just feel like, if I could get 2 months with them...
Yeah.
You know? That's 8 weeks. Just show up on Raw. You don't have to do any house shows. Just show up on Raw. I would be very interested in that. It's the best thing that happened after as good and wonderful as WrestleMania 30 was, and yay, hooray forever. The best thing after that was Evolution.
Yeah.
Coming back. And I got to see Evolution on a weekly basis for like 2 months. And that was exciting and thrilling. And like, once it became clear that Batista wasn't going to be champion, I thought Batista was going to be gone after WrestleMania.
Yeah, I did too. And yet here we see him working matches where he's not really, you know, the highlight guy. And I think that says a lot about him that he's been able to do that, which still makes me feel guilty on how the fans treated him.
I would hope, because I feel like if Batista came back, I would once again open arms.
Absolutely. Batista. I feel like, okay, I'm assuming the entire internet wrestling community listens to us.
Of course.
So, guys, don't be jerks.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes back, I'm assuming he's going to be well, because he's a busy guy after Guardians ended up being the success that it became. Whenever he does, it's probably going to be his last. Don't be cynical jerks. Like, don't call him Blue Teaster or whatever color he's wearing. Obviously, he's sensitive about that. So, can you just, you know, okay?
I'm just saying.
Chill out.
Post-WrestleMania, even the actual WrestleMania match, but that and post-WrestleMania, we got Batista in rare form. It was a good sight. And so, that's what I want from Sting, honestly. As much and as excited as I am, because Sting's going to be at WrestleMania, very exciting, hooray and yay. Just I want to see Sting. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I've been like, oh, creepy Sting. Four times so far.
Yeah.
I got to see Sting finally this week.
And he finally spoke.
He spoke and he spoke like the character that he's been like post 1997 Stargate. Like the beginning here was the creepy crow that doesn't speak and just points and, you know, hangs out in the rafters. That guy, like, yeah.
And now, like, he's more candid.
But he's been pretty noisy, even with the makeup on, for several years.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got to see that Sting.
Yeah.
And I would like more of that Sting.
I agree. I did just not think of my other scenario for the armbar. Don't think it's going to happen, but it would be a lot of fun if it did. Curtis Axel, quote-unquote, accidentally winning.
Oh, I would love Curtis Axel, man. Or I would be equally happy with Curtis Axel being thrown out not over the top rope.
Yeah, but, like, but violently thrown in between the ropes or something to where, yeah, like, he has to be, like, helped to the back.
Yeah, like, knocked unconscious. So, run this Axelmania thing into the ground, you guys.
Absolutely.
I don't often say that. I often say, know when to walk away. Never walk away from this. Run it into the ground. Milk it for every drop it's worth.
I mean, he did get thrown over the top ropes by Snoop Dogg's pencil arms. I always knew he was a skinny guy. I guess I'm not used to seeing him in short sleeves. Dear Lord! That guy has popsicle sticks.
I don't think I've actually seen Snoop Dogg since Starsky and Hutch.
Wow.
Like, here and there and around, but it's never like, I don't even know what Snoop Dogg looks like post-2003.
So you're telling me now, on this podcast, that you never saw Soul Plane?
I've never seen Soul Plane, no.
Sir, you're missing out. Tom Arnold's acting like...
On a technicality, I am technically missing out. Yes.
Ah, sir, the Tom Arnold acting masterpiece that is Soul Plane.
I'm thrilled to continue missing out, but you're right, it is technically missing out.
You're not gonna be at my house on Saturday for the movie thing, are you?
We're not for watching Soul Plane.
You don't know what I'm playing.
How many matches have we had left?
Just the one.
All right.
So this is where we're gonna just kind of combine the mail sack with everything else, because most everything that our mail sack talks about is the whole Brock Lesnar thing. He went on SportsCenter Tuesday afternoon, and publicly said from his own mouth that he re-signed with WWE and effectively closing the door on his MMA career.
Yeah.
And this throws quite a wrench into what a lot of us had assumed was going to be the end of WrestleMania between him and Roman Reigns. Everyone assumed, you know, Brock Lesnar, he's leaving the day after WrestleMania. This is their chance to build a guy up to finally conquer the beast, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And end his championship run and skyrocket whomever they pick. They pick Roman Reigns, everyone's like, no.
Yeah.
WWE's like, come on, guys, yeah. Come on. And everyone's like, maybe. And I think we're still at that maybe stage.
But
now WWE is faced with the choice of do we stay the course,
mm-hmm,
or what we presume to be the course, or do we let this Brock Lesnar thing continue going until they find a more suitable conqueror, so to speak.
Right. Okay.
That being said, I don't know who that would be.
I don't know. So, do you think, are you going to say that this now means Brock Lesnar is going to retain at WrestleMania?
I'm tempted to say that, yeah.
You want it written down?
I don't know. I was going to hold off on that until we talked about it a little bit. And maybe I'll make my decision.
Okay, I'm gonna go Roman Reigns.
You're going to say,
I need to hear you pick before, okay, I totally convince you that it's gonna be Roman Reigns.
I mean, are you guessing like everyone else that there's gonna be like a double switch at the end, and Paul Heyman, like, he betrays Brock and goes to Roman, and that's how Roman wins?
Is that what you're thinking?
I don't know. I mean, I'm seeing that theory getting thrown out a lot.
Right.
You know, and honestly, I was throwing that theory around whenever Roman Reigns first won the Royal Rumble.
Right.
You know, because it's a very plausible, and it would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a way to kind of get some interest behind Roman, because he doesn't have a lot going for him as
he
is right now.
He doesn't.
He's got a couple good moves that he uses a lot, and that's pretty much it. Like I've said in the past, like, the wisest thing he's done is not talk as much.
Mm-hmm.
And now cut down to almost zero if Paul Heyman was, you know, his advocate, so to speak.
Yeah. You can also, you can also think about factoring in, what's his name, Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Any sort of cash-in kind of thing could happen on either guy.
Yeah.
But technically predicting who will be declared victory of this match in the history books. Mm-hmm. Ignoring any sort of WrestleMania 9 Hulk Hogan demands a 9-second rematch.
Assuming John Cena doesn't come out and automatically just is awarded yet another championship and wins in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll say Brock Lesnar.
You'll go Brock Lesnar?
And I've been just assuming that Roman Reigns was my prediction since Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, whoever was going to win Royal Rumble, I was like, that's the person they're going to have beat Brock Lesnar because of this contract situation.
Right.
And that was kind of the narrative that they were leading to anyway.
Now, I'm going to be cheering very hard for Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
I think
this is the one that you would be okay with being
incorrect. I will be very okay with being incorrect on this one.
I think we all would, yeah.
Yeah, I can stomach the points. I can take the hit on our yearly contest.
Fair enough.
But let's go back to the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Where it is Roman is gonna win. We know people won't like that. We don't care. Orchestrate everything in our company around forcing people to be okay with Roman winning.
So you're thinking more so of that.
I'm thinking of that. Mm-hmm. And the, they might be fixing it, is no, let's just try and stay the boos until they get worn out.
Because so far that's kind of worked.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It has. But this past Monday, they booed.
Yeah.
They booed and they booed. And it was, it wasn't, I don't want to like compare it to the Daniel Bryan controlling the crowd, yes, moment on top of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a universal boo. It was such a no questions boo.
Mm-hmm.
If WWE got Brock Lesnar to sign and said, we're going to have Brock Lesnar win now and retain, they would not have had any announcement that Brock Lesnar had signed. It would have been an opportunity to have a shocker along the lines of ending the streak last year.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar, who all the smarks think is leaving tomorrow, retains, shocker of shockers, totally unexpected. But Brock Lesnar announced the day after all those boos.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm staying, you guys. So we can all be like, maybe Brock Lesnar will win. The exact same way we were like, maybe Daniel Bryan will win.
Right.
Last pay-per-view.
Fair enough.
I'm like, it's...
So in that...
I don't think that much has changed in WWE creative since last month.
So in that aspect, you think that maybe they had a deal on the table that they pretty much agreed to like a while back, but they strategically waited until just now? Or do you think it actually did take them this long to come to you?
I think it might have taken them this long.
It's plausible, yeah.
You can kind of see, like, as they're booing and the camera pans to Brock Lesnar, and you can almost see him thinking, like, every 7 seconds they boo, I get another zero on that check.
So keep it up, guys. Although I did like that one part where Paul Heyman was saying, you know, what it would take, what Roman would have to do in order to beat Brock. He's like, oh, he could go to his house and, you know, he could, you know, go take his kids and take food off his kids' plate. And Brock Lesnar was just like, just kind of pulled back, like, where the hell are you going with this, Paul? And then he gets to the point and you're like, all right, I like that. I think you literally can see him say the words, I like that. All right, yeah, I am the beast.
Here's the kind thing, of perks like, up a little like...
That was the best reaction I've ever seen.
Brock can't talk, and we can all agree on that. But Brock can stand there and react to Paul Heyman like few others can.
Absolutely. And honestly, I love that dynamic.
I do.
And honestly, and watching him talk on SportsCenter, like, he's fine when he's talking about his own personal feelings.
Yeah.
He was surprisingly not eloquent, but you can tell. But that was more because he was struggling to find the right words to say. But when he said it, you could tell he was talking from his heart and everything. When it's scripted and be like, hey, these are the points you need to hit, that's where I feel like he gets kind of lost.
That's the thing is, like, I, you know, following, because he, you know, did interviews during UFC time, and, like, he was better there than he was ever on the mic in WWE. It's like, okay, he learned how to be in front of a crowd. He learned how to talk. He learned how to express himself. All right, good job. And so
that was more like him being Brock Lesnar the person.
Yeah, and then like he came back and he did that piss promo. I'm like, that was recorded, you guys. That was recorded, and that was the best take. We could have had another take of that, and you chose that one?
I did. The moment where in the little taped interview where he said he was going to blank up from Roman Reigns, that did make me like, oh, wait, what? Did he really just, okay, all right, interesting.
But so,
yeah. But I feel like the only person that they would let get away with that would be Brock.
Brock Lesnar, yeah. I want it to be Brock Lesnar. And I will say, like, it should be Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
You continue Brock Lesnar as the beast incarnate. You continue he as a rare, once every 3 months, a special attraction for the most coveted title.
Yeah.
Then on your weekly shows, you have your USA title and you have your IC title suddenly held by John Cena and Daniel Bryan with no... You know,
and how do you even have those in the main event for pay-per-views that Brock isn't going to be at?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty easily tailor-made story.
Yeah,
I mean, I will even take, because I was assuming Sheamus to come into the ladder match. I will even take Sheamus, as much as it is Sheamus and Daniel Bryan's seemingly destiny to fight at WrestleMania forever.
They're just forever linked.
I will take Sheamus turning heel in the match to screw out Daniel Bryan and then a Daniel Bryan-Sheamus feud for the IC title if it's main eventing multiple Raws and pay-per-views.
Right.
Like...
And honestly, like, I could see them, like, playing into the things he said on SportsCenter. And, like, I could see them playing into that and turning him face.
Yeah.
Because, like, we never really got that honesty of him, like, you know what, I like doing this and... You know, it's not necessarily because of the money. I like doing what I do, and the money's good and all, but, you know, I don't have, like, he doesn't have the heart to
Brock Lesnar was always supposed to be a heel, but in all honesty, the guy shows up. He works really hard. He, you know, trains with regularity.
And he puts on pretty good matches.
He puts on good matches. He never cheats. He does his best. He hustles, he is loyal, and he is fairly respectful. He has never said a bad word about anybody post that piss thing. He's never said a word about anybody post that piss thing because they brought Paul Heyman back.
He said he was going to blank up Roman Reigns, sir.
Yeah, but...
In the confines of a match, I guess.
Yes, but John Cena made fun of Vicky for like 20 minutes on the hustle, loyalty, and respect scale. I think Brock Lesnar wins on all three counts over John Cena.
Didn't John Cena and Jerry Lawler like go back and forth like with like Yo Mama-esque type, like,
yeah,
Vicky is so fat or Vicky is so ugly? Like, didn't they do that for like a good 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, and I was like, one of you is eating a steak post-heart attack in a hospital bed.
I think this was pre-heart attack.
Well, pot and kettles.
Fair enough. He was also eating fried food from Sonic.
Yeah. So, no, it should be Brock. I am hoping it is Brock. I'm thrilled
by
the aspect of it is Brock.
But you are saying that you're predicting WWE is still going to be jerks about this.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's again, totally, totally plausible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In all honesty, I was thinking about it over the past week about, like, why is it that this whole WrestleMania has been just so lackluster, so...
It felt like everything was really laboring along, like nothing really seemed to be coming easy.
Well, and so there was this thing where, you know, you're looking at it and you're like, a lot of complaints about WWE, the person complaining roots it into the there's no competition, there needs to be competition. But there's been no competition for a long time.
Yeah.
There was no competition last year and it was amazing. But this is the first time ever that the road to WrestleMania existed entirely in a network situation.
Yeah.
Like, WrestleMania was on the network last year. Their network propped up. Because Elimination Chamber was on the network,
too,
right?
No.
Or did it start the day after Elimination Chamber?
Yes.
Okay.
The day after Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. So, WrestleMania was on there last year. But the whole road to WrestleMania with the Royal Rumble and February thing, everything was in a post-network world where you don't sell WrestleMania as an event, as a pay-per-view. It is one of the many reasons you should buy the network.
Right.
WrestleMania play button has not felt like WrestleMania 30. It doesn't have to be worth $50 anymore, and it's not.
Right.
You know, it's gotta be, it doesn't even have to be worth $10, because if you don't like that, maybe you like NXT, or maybe you want to watch Great American Bash 2003, or whatever, you know.
Whatever thing you want to get into, yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, I am worried that it will be viewed in that light.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that sets WrestleMania apart from every other pay-per-view is the fact that we all agree that it's WrestleMania.
Right. The one show where people watch it just because it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania. Yeah. A lot of people, this is the only pay-per-view they watch every year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got a truckload of friends that this is the only event they watch every year.
Yeah.
Raw or otherwise.
And so I'm worried for next year's build-up.
Okay.
I'm worried that this is what it's going to be like, you know, the road to WrestleMania every year because of the network, and the network's done a lot of great things, and I don't wish the network to go away because I still don't think, you know, even with all this gibber jabber.
You're going to slide into a bad rhythm with it.
I'm worried about it.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. I am worried about it. I'm worried that everything is, Raw is essentially an advertisement.
Yeah.
You know, we've said that
especially
before.
Especially this past Monday.
Well, Raw is always an advertisement. Raw is an advertisement. Raw is the free stuff you get to entice you to pay for the pay-per-views. It's also an advertisement for shirts and toys and stuff. But as a show,
it's mainly an advertisement for the network.
It's an advertisement. Now it's an advertisement for the network. It's not an advertisement for
Twitter account.
It used to be Raw was an advertisement for pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Now it's Raw's an advertisement for the network. The network is a different beast than pay-per-views, and you advertise differently for it.
Right.
And the advertisement for the network, the advertisement to try and convince you to pay $10 for a month of the good stuff, rather than pay $50 for a night of stuff
possible
better than you've ever seen. Yeah.
Matches. Yeah.
It's, you do it differently, and it, you know, I think that WWE will continue to evolve as this network thing. I mean, again, the network, we said before, the biggest business gamble since first WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, as a make or break, all your eggs in a basket kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The network's a big thing, and it's looking like the network is a success.
Or it's at least stable.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing where, like, you still need that television presence because you need new people coming in as people go. People will still go. People will grow out of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had, you know, these friends who we talk about who only come to see WrestleMania, they did watch Raw. They watched Raw, you know, and in college.
Yeah.
But it just,
a lot of them, yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I get that, you know what, it's not worth it, and I totally get it. It's very hard to be like, no, you guys, this is definitely worth 3 hours every single week of your life.
Right.
But
in our case, it was just, you know, it really turned into an excuse for all of us to hang out for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't think WWE really cares about the distinction.
No, but there's still a lot of the attitude of we have to build this like we are for a pay-per-view, but not as much this year as it was last year.
Right.
And I think it'll be even less next year. And I hope that this year is not I honestly, I hope it is all Roman Reigns' problem. I hope that it is so single-mindedly focused on Roman Reigns has to be the next guy that everything else suffered. And I hope that, because if that's the problem, if we can point to that, and every single other problem connects to that, they didn't give enough time to Sting, they relied too much on the Taker thing because it was more important to focus on Roman. All the, if all this can be pointed to, WWE was so single-mindedly focused on this one event, this one match, this one guy, that they didn't take the time to sit down and be like, we need Undertaker to show up at least once.
Right.
They didn't take the time to be like, oh, Sting hasn't said anything, and that's really cool in November, but
we're getting to crunch time, yeah.
Sting, we need Sting's motivation. We have Triple H's motivation. We don't have Sting's motivation for this, you know, because nope, we got to focus on making sure that Roman looks strong. And I hope that's it. I hope that is that's the problem, because that problem won't exist next year, for better or for worse. It might still exist, but it'll exist in such a different form.
Right. That, well, by that point, he'll already either be the established guy, or they accept that it's a mistake, he's in the mid-card or something like that.
Yeah, or a year is a long time. Like, Roman Reigns can get booed now. If he has a good 8-9 months, and you know...
He could be... Yeah, he could
and they're like,
be the
hey,
next thing that they want. Yeah.
Roman Reigns in the main event. We might be like, yeah, you guys. This right. guy's had a great 8-9 months for the past 8-9 months.
Yes.
That's exactly how long you can have a great 8-9 months.
Thank you for that clarification.
Anyway, my point is, I hope that's the problem. I'm worried it's not.
Okay.
And we won't know until next. We'll check back in.
Okay.
Next Road to WrestleMania.
So, Joel.
Yes.
You've talked about what you're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about what's making you happy.
Okay.
All right. What's making you happy, Joel?
My mom listens to this podcast.
I know, right? I saw that on Twitter, and it was like, it was one of the things where I just happened, because I work a terrible shift, you guys. I work 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday to Friday. I hate it, but it's money, so whatever. I'll take it. But a lot of the time, I just have my tweet deck up, and I'll read through Class of Reattire in my personal account just to kind of keep myself entertained. And then I see I knew your mom followed us. I got a notification on my phone a couple weeks ago. I saw her name pop up. I was like, I think that's Joel's mom. I looked at it because I just recently met her, and I'm like, yeah, that's totally her. And then I saw the other day that she listens to the podcast, and she will send out a tweet about it on what she's learned per podcast. She learned last week that Joel had a cat, and I'm sure a lot of you guys learned that last week as well. And we know, we recognize it, and we're taking steps to make sure that you don't know in the future.
But the cat's still alive.
The cat's still alive. Sorry, I didn't mean to make it sound like, guys, we took care of the problem.
That's what you're like, we know we're taking steps to take care of it. I was like, whoa.
No, we're just...
Whoa. Just whoa there, buddy.
I'm whoaing. I know I'm the one in the room that doesn't like cats, but I wouldn't go that far. I'm not an animal. I'm not Batista.
The cat is.
The cat is. Alright, so
what's making
going off
happy?
Of that, I would like to say hello, Joel's mom. And it was very lovely to meet you that one time.
Hi, Joel's mom.
What's making me happy, it's Laser Mania.
Of course.
You know, for those that don't know, that's what we call our WrestleMania weekend every year. This is Laser Mania 4.
Anything else?
Let's talk about the mail sack.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack.
It's your mail.
All right, we got a couple things that came to us via Twitter. One comes from @EvilJackalopes. Question: is it WrestleMania 31, WrestleMania Play Button, or WrestleMania 2015? He has an answer. What is your answer, Joel?
I've been calling it a WrestleMania play button.
I've been calling it 31 like a pleb, apparently. Apparently, I've just been vanilla about this. I don't know where I've been, but I'm seeing it pop up a lot more now. Like, oh, yeah, it's a play button. I've seen it on Reddit. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it everywhere now. Apparently, I was out of loop on that.
Yeah, oh, well. Come on, guy.
Evil Jack Lopes says the answer is hashtag Axelmania, of course.
Not just normal Axelmania, but in fact, hashtag Axelmania.
Well, it's on Twitter, so it has a hashtag in front of it.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. This comes from at Gappa Podcast. With Brock signed, do they let us have Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar for the title? I'm thinking I'm still... With him signed on now, I'm hoping that's our SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
Whether for me for the title or whatever, I'm hoping that's our SummerSlam match. If they're not going to give it to us for WrestleMania, that is the next best thing, I think.
Do you think...
Or at least at some point. It doesn't have to be SummerSlam.
Okay, do you think Brock, if Brock retains, do you think Brock does not defend again until SummerSlam?
Because
honestly, here's the thing. One of the great things about Brock Lesnar retaining,
mm-hmm.
And theoretically keeping, kind of holding it on, that makes Night of Champions really exciting.
Right? Because that's guaranteed to be a Brock Lesnar signing.
Yeah, your worst pay-per-view suddenly, shoots up in the rankings.
Just for that one.
One of your top five.
And the minute Brock Lesnar ever retires, whatever, it's back down.
No, it's back down. So
I hope it's still not a thing by then. I'm hoping by then they'll come up with some Battleground, Fastlane, Showtime, whatever, let's do this pay-per-view title that they come up with.
The Respect pay-per-view.
See, I would make fun of you, but that's so likely
they'll
do something like that.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know, whatever, they could probably come up with another car metaphor to put on there. Fastlane, Overdrive...
engines blazing.
Engines blazing. Start your engines.
Rootin' tootin'est.
With all this fascination with cars, I don't understand why there's not any more WWE NASCAR crossover.
John Cena likes cars.
He does like cars. Randy Orton does not. Excuse me. No,
Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, botched the joke.
Oh God. Well, that's a good point to end the podcast.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays, and appropriate Sundays. One of which is this Sunday, though.
Absolutely.
So we will be having.
Tell your friends. Let's bump those follower numbers up. We've been stuck at 215 for way too long.
All right. Yes.
All right. And if you have any questions, comments. All your WrestleMania thoughts after the fact or before the fact, send it all to our email. That's classandratingattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes, still the best and easiest way to follow the podcast. Look us up there. You can subscribe. You give us a rating, maybe of
5 stars.
Or write a review. All that kind of stuff just really helps out.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Facebook?
Yes.
And we're also on Facebook. stop it. Let me get through this. All by myself, perfectly in one take.
Yep.
We're also on Facebook. You can look us up there. You can click like. It's an easy way to follow us. We also kind of just random other wrestling tidbits are also there.
Yes, we do.
Until next time. Which will be our WrestleMania review recap, as well as, of course, the one we're all excited for, The Raw right. After WrestleMania.
The true show to listen to. This one, hit or miss, guys.
All right, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.